Well, good morning, saints. How are you doing today? I went on vacation, and while I was there, I got a new voice. How you guys like it? It kind of came on slow, but it's a new thing I'm working on. I'm thinking about maybe being a radio DJ or something, kind of feeling it. Man, God bless our immune system, huh? Whew. Well, my name is Joshua, and I am so blessed to be the senior pastor here at Christ Center. If I haven't met you yet, I'm so glad you're here today. And we're going to dive in. We've been on a scripture series, as you guys know, and man, haven't Amber and Jason just been killing it? It's been so good. Man, yeah, one person clapped. I don't know if you heard that, Jason, but that's just how that worked out. Does anybody else get nervous when you say something that sounds like Siri? And then they show up on your screen. She's like, what do you want me to do now? You're like, are you always listening to me? Yeah. And the answer is yes. I know. That's a terrifying thing. What am I supposed to be doing up here? Okay, here we go. I get to talk to you today in the series on Scripture about studying the Scripture. We've talked about the big picture. We've talked about the genres. We've talked about where it came from and how we can view it. And how many of you guys have been enjoying that map that Amber Riggs created for us to interpret, right? Come on, that's so helpful. Yeah, you guys are lively. How many of you this morning, I got up, my alarm went off, and I've been on the couch. I've been sleeping on the couch because I've been coughing a lot. And I figure at least one of us should sleep. So my marriage is fine. I snore really loud, and so my wife has to wear earplugs. And so she's been enjoying not having to wear earplugs. And so, you know, there's kind of a win. But anyway, this is going somewhere. And that is that I, like Jason, also woke up and was offended because my iPhone woke me up. I used it for my alarm. We leave those in the living room. By the way, tip for your life, never bring your phone in your room. Charge it somewhere else. Anyway, but I happened to be in the room where we charged mine, and that was my alarm clock. And it went off, and the stupid thing was wrong because I got up and made my coffee. I'm like, stupid iPhone telling me that it's 6 o'clock. It's actually 5 a.m. And then I thought, dang it. So if this is not very good, it's because I just started it this morning. I'm just kidding. All right, we're going to jump into this thing. And we're going to talk today about studying the Scriptures and different ways that we get to study the Scriptures. So we've talked about the meta-narrative. This beautiful picture, we have these 66 books of God with man and man with God. And as you guys know, it's sometimes descriptive, it's sometimes prescriptive, but we get to see the overall picture of how these scriptures have prophesied about the coming of Christ and that he's come and that he'll come again. And I'm not going to go into all of that, but that's the big picture. And that gives us context. That gives us the ability to understand these beautiful ways that God has been so kind and redemptive and amazing. And how many of you guys appreciate God's character? That he made us and then he was like, man, even though you guys ruined everything, you little sweet little chuckleheads, my little babies, I'm going to make a way so that I can redeem everything. Regardless of my enemy, Satan, regardless of the evil that humans sometimes align themselves with, I'm going to make a way that through Christ, all things can be redeemed. And Christ came and fulfilled those scriptures, and here we are now in that ongoing story. So we have the big picture. I want to use a metaphor today as we're talking about scripture. And this was Jason and Amber's idea, but I really liked it, so I'm going to do a mediocre job of using it. And here's what it is. What if we looked at reading the scriptures and interacting with the scriptures as we're looking at study, as we're looking at the way that we've done this, what if it was a lot like going out into nature, and let's just use Willamette Valley as the metaphor, going out and looking at the landscape of the trees of the forest, of the valleys here, and seeing the different ways that you look out over the forest that is, you know, Willamette Valley. And so there's different ways you can interact with that. One would be that you could hike up to the top of a mountain and look down at the overall landscape. How many of you guys have gone up right somewhere in the hills and you look out over and you're just like, oh my goodness, God is good. That scripture, all of creation speaks of the glory of God. Boy, that comes to mind. You just look out and go, man, look at the massive picture that there is all these trees and the river and the green grass and the beauty of what he's made. It's the big picture. And I'd like to, for our metaphor, I'd like to say that's what we've done for the last few weeks, is that we've gone up on the mountain and we've looked out over the overall picture of these 66 books of Scripture, okay? But then, as we're looking at entering into it, what if then as we come down, another way we might look at it and interact with Scripture is that sometimes you come and you sit by the river and you feel the difference in the temperature as it shifts, because even though it's a summer day, you're sitting next to the river and the cool of the river changes the atmosphere and you can feel the temperature drop. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You get down and you're just like, oh my goodness, it's 20 degrees cooler right here. You can hear the water rushing. And again, you get that sense, oh my goodness, all of creation speaks of the glory of God, and you rest in that place. And you experience something that is a part of the whole, but you're experiencing it as a single experience. It's within it, but it's unique. Are you with me? Maybe you might walk from there and sit under the shade of a tree. Maybe you look over and you look at that tree and you begin to see all the details of the beauty of this tree. You might compare it with another one, a very different kind of tree, and you think, my goodness, God, it's amazing to think that all of this came from your imagination and from your creativity. So there's different ways for us to interact with those same scriptures. So I'm going to kind of lean on that metaphor as we walk through this. Does that work for you guys? As Jason often tells you, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do it anyway. I got the microphone. I'm really quoting him a lot today. So I guess I missed you, man. It's been like 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks. And I'm like, man, after 2 weeks, I could miss even Jason. All right. Well, the first thing as we're looking at engaging with the scripture, engaging with these scriptures and studying the scriptures, and we're going to have several different ways that we look at that this morning. But the step one about studying the scripture is you got to actually do it. It has to happen. You know, it's kind of like me and exercise. I mean, I say I'm going to do it all the time, but here's what you get. If you don't schedule a time to do it, it's just not going to happen. Say ouch or amen. It's just a reality. It's just a reality. There needs to be a scheduled time. There needs to be a rhythm that's in your life where you, as a son or a daughter of our beautiful God, sits down and engages with the scripture. How many of you guys, you don't have to raise your hand, although I kind of want to make you, I'm not going to, but how many of you already have a scheduled time where you read the scripture? Many of you do. Yes, I saw all of those hands. You know, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. All the people that did were like, oh, I really want to raise my hand, but I don't want to hurt all these other people's feelings. And the Lord sees you not raising your hands, and he blesses you, you humble encouragers. Yeah, you're so kind. All right. So there's got to be a time that you scheduled it. David, the psalmist, said, early in the morning, O Lord, will I seek you. I will awaken the dawn. I personally think that morning is a great time. You got to get up anyway. And for me, my invitation to the Lord is the loud sound of my coffee maker, which automatically makes espresso for me. I just push a button, and it sounds like a jet engine turning off, and the Lord says, my son is getting ready to meet with me. And then I sit down with my coffee, and I engage with the scriptures. So that's my morning rhythm, and I've made that a part of my life. When I don't do it, I notice it. It feels like something is missing. I want to encourage you, schedule your time. Schedule your time where you're going to interact with the Lord. But as we do this, as we do interact with the Lord, as we are seeking to engage with the scriptures, remember this, guys, we are interacting with God. Let me take a little tea here. I'm getting real smoky now. We're interacting with God in these scriptures. This is something that God has designed for us, that there is intimacy, there's joy. That's a part of what we're doing in this part of study, in this part of engaging. This is where we're not necessarily on the mountain looking over the entire landscape and thinking, where is this in the overall 66 books? This is a different kind of engagement that we're doing. This is a very personal, an intimate time that's relational with the Lord as we're engaging with these scriptures. So remember this, these scriptures are talking about a person, and that person is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Or those persons of the Trinity. Oh boy, I'm sure that you theologians out there are like, dude, you are saying things. Okay, are you guys with me? God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, this is a personal relationship with a real God. And when we set aside time to interact through scriptures, that's an aspect that we're seeking to engage with because he's speaking to us in that time, and we're speaking to him in that time. So it's okay to come with that expectation that in these particular times, it's very relational. So let's talk about a few of these different kinds. One great thing that you can do in reading through the scriptures is read through the Bible in a year. How many of you guys have read through the Bible in a year? You've got like a reading plan, truly. Like, raise your hand. I'm just curious if you've ever done it. Read through the Bible in a year. No, keep them up. Keep them up. Look around, everybody. See, it's possible. It's possible. I have actually, let me just encourage you. I have only read through the Bible in a year, specifically with the reading plan, one time. I hated it. Absolutely hated it. That is not my favorite way to interact with the Bible. I have read through the Bible many times, but reading through in a year, that was not my favorite. I'm glad I did it, but you know, as you guys heard earlier, when you start rocking like Leviticus and some of these like numbers and different parts, I'm just like banging my head against the wall. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this genealogy right now. And until this sermon series, I didn't know. Now I feel so free. I'm just kidding. But it is a very wonderful way to engage. And how many of you guys actually really enjoy that, right? For some of you, it's just your favorite. Doug loves it. Yeah, come on. I'm not denigrating it in any way, shape, or form. That's another way to interact with the scripture. What a beautiful rhythm and a way, maybe for our metaphor, to walk down off of the mountain, through the path, and to examine all the different spaces and places that God has planted in this tapestry of his scripture. And you go on this guided path, and it's beautiful, and it's meaningful, and you're always moving. What an awesome way to interact with God in Scripture. Another way that we can interact in Scripture is life journaling. How many of you guys have ever life journaled? Raise your hand. Okay, awesome, right? It's such a fun way to interact. Life journaling uses a process called SOAP. And SOAP is an acronym that stands for, it does it both. Scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And so you have a reading plan, and you go through and you take a section of scripture, and you read it, and then you wait and you observe what's going on. And then you ask the Holy Spirit for an application of what that might mean for you under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And then you pray about that. So it's a very cool, very elegant way to interact with the scriptures as you go through. In fact, Jeff, where are you at, Jeff? My guy Jeff over here. Right, why don't you wave, Jeff? Jeff has taught a little bit about life journaling here. He shared. He has been life journaling for decades. I don't want to say how many because look how young he is. But he actually leads a life journaling group that meets on Saturdays. Is it at 8 a.m. on Saturdays? And so it is a men's life journaling group. So if you are a man and you've never life journaled or you're curious and want to get back to it or whatever, 8 a.m. on Saturday, you could go there and do some life journaling. So I tell you, it's a blessing. I went there and it was a divine appointment, just me and Jeff. And man, I got saved twice. That was such a strong thing. God spoke to me, I kid you not, so clearly about something that was very deep in my life. And I cried upon Jeff's bosom. Yes, I did. All right. I'm not saying that will happen to you when you do it, but I'm just saying it might not happen. So there it is. The next way that we can interact with Scripture, and really soap, using the life journaling process is an aspect of that is meditating. Meditating on Scripture. Okay, the word actually tells us to do that. Joshua 1:8 says this, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. You're to meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. For then you will prosper and succeed in all that you do. That word meditate is very cool. It's a Hebrew word that is haga, and it paints a picture of, it's used 25 different times in the Old Testament. And but here's some of the things that it's saying is It's an active engagement of your mind, heart, and your heart. I'm sorry, your mind and your heart and your soul working together. And here's what's interesting is that it means to moan or growl or utter, to speak or to muse. And I like the growling one. It's like it actually says that like the young lions growl over their prey. So if you get a picture of like a lion that has caught its prey and it's like, ah, 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 and somebody else comes around, it's like, ah, ah, you're gonna get this bone out of my mouth. We're actually invited to take the scripture and to muse over it, to mutter, to walk through and say, Lord, this is a good word. The book of the law must not depart from my mouth. I'm speaking about it. I'm whispering to myself about it. If any of you guys have ever been here when I think you're not here, you will hear me walking through the halls, talking to myself. Anyone been here and experienced that? Look at the staff. They're like, yeah, it's very unsettling. I strongly believe in Haggah. My voice sounds like Haggah today. It's like a prophetic statement. You're offered to take time and grab the scriptures and to mutter them, to speak them out, to whisper them, to talk them through as you're musing about it. And what does that do? It activates your heart and your mind. You're taking that time to continue to run through this. What could this mean, Lord? Gosh, I recognize this part. I see that. I've seen this happen. But Lord, this part's never happened yet for me. What must that mean, God? You said this, and yet, Lord, you're doing this, and I thank you, and I also ask for this. And you're just talking it through. You're meditating. But you are actually using your mouth as you're reading the scripture. And there's a connection that happens. It is a relational aspect of the scriptures that you're also acknowledging to yourself, I am thinking this. I am reading this. I am hearing this. I am speaking this. Are you seeing that? So there's an activity that happens with meditation. Another one is memorization. How many of you guys here have memorized some scriptures? Truly, raise your hand if you've memorized one scripture. That better be all of you with John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Come on, right? That's a good one. That's a great one. Verse 63 says, the spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Be healed, little throat. Okay. Did you catch that? The spirit is the one who gives life. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life. The scriptures that we have actually have life in them. And when we receive them, when we memorize them, they become something that we carry with us into different situations. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I love that. How does that happen? Because I have the scriptures in me. I've actually memorized them, and they have become points of strength and life and refreshment and encouragement. If most of you, if I've ever had an opportunity to pray for you, it's very rare that I will pray for someone and not have a scripture or a fragment of a scripture come to mind that I will incorporate into my prayer for you and share with you, hey, this is coming to mind as I'm praying for you, this scripture, and I offer it to you. But why do I know them? Because I read them and I meditate on them and they become life for me. And when I'm encouraging you, when I'm bringing something, it is from those scriptures. And those become, and they have become for me, my dear friends, my dear life encouragements that I can offer to other people, that you could encounter Christ through those things that I have encountered Christ through in his scripture. You with me? One of the scriptures that I love so much, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I'm going to put in a cough drop and see if that really gets us there. One of the scriptures that I love so much, this is my mama taught me this one way back when, and I've shared this with you before, but I love it. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I taught that to my daughter Mercy when she was little. And I would put a little choreography to it, right? Greater is he who is in me than he, and I like to flick it like that, like he who who's in the world. And when I'm in a situation that is bigger than me, man, I'm so glad I remember that. I will literally be sitting in a really hard meeting and I will be saying to myself, you know what, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. Now that might be a human that I'm talking to that's going through something where their problem is so much bigger than me. Or maybe they're bigger than me if it's my brother-in-law, Mark Gwillem. It's terrifying. Or if it's the devil himself. Not that those two are in any way related. But I will remind myself. You're going to have to fix this next week, Jason. You've got a lot to fix. I will remind myself, greater is he who's in me. Greater is he who's in me than whatever's going on in the world. And I know that's true, but I also always have it there to draw from because I memorized it. So I encourage you, memorize the scriptures. All right. Now here's when we're going to practice today. And we've done this before, but we're going to practice some Lectio Divina. Now this is actually similar to life journaling. And I have an inkling that probably Wayne Cadero, when he invented life journaling, probably mostly borrowed it from Lectio Divina. But let me tell you what Lectio Divina is. It's actually a term we learned from Harry Potter. That's so bad. It's Latin. It's Latin. And it means sacred reading. The thing that I was supposed to do was to not scare you with Latin. So I started with the Harry Potter joke. Did it work? All right. Lectio Divina means sacred reading. And it originated in the 3rd century. It was a special favorite in monasteries at that time. But it's not just for priests. What it is it's an opportunity for us to pray through scripture. So it's very, very similar to life journaling, but it just means sacred reading. So Lectio Divina. So let me tell you how it works. Lectio, meaning read, is that we take a moment and we read through the passage slowly. And as we're reading through the passage, we start to put ourselves in the story. So this is, remember, this is not Bible study in the sense of like, let me get into the Greek, let me pull out my concordance and dig that way. That's not what this is. This is very personal. We're having an interaction with the Lord as we take a piece of scripture. So using our metaphor, I feel like this would be one where I would like set down underneath of us, or in a specific place, maybe I went into the valley and I'm near some trees and I go, man, this is a perfect place to have a picnic and invite the Lord. So I just set down a blanket and I'm like, man, I'm just gonna look out over here and I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna examine this beautiful landscape and have this picnic with God, and we're gonna talk through what was going on, what he might wanna say to me in this particular location as I now quiet myself and just meditate on what's going on here. Are you with me? So, first thing that we do is we read through the passage slowly, and you start putting yourself in the story a little bit. You're gonna, instead of focusing on a message for yourself, right, you're looking at the story just as it is. What's actually going on? I'm just getting curious. I'm just noticing. I'm listening. I'm imagining that maybe if I were to see this unfolding, what would it look like? Visualize the time and the place and the people involved in the story. And you're going to slow down. You're just going to kind of savor the images, paying attention whenever anything that you read might spark a reaction from you. I love the, like, it glistens a little bit. You ever do that? You see something, it just kind of glistens, just catches your, oh, I feel like this is illuminated a little bit. I kind of caught my attention. Or maybe it's, you know, just sparks something. You just read through that section of scripture a few times. And we're going to go through this together, by the way. But then after we've done that, then we begin to meditate. We try to focus, and it's meditatio. We try to focus on a word or a phrase from the passage. One way to do this is to repeat the word or the phrase out loud in your head a few times. So after we've read through the story and we notice something is illuminated, then we're going to catch that, and then we might just start repeating that. So I'm going to go ahead, and we're going to take just a minute here, and we're going to go through a section of scripture that I picked for us, since time is of the essence. Then we're going to pray about it, and then we're going to take a moment to contemplate and just be still before the Lord in his presence, just sitting with that thing that the Lord illuminated as we went through these steps. And it's that simple. So very similar to scripture, observation, application, and prayer. So let me start with this. And we're gonna do this together. So after we get to a place where we allow the Lord to speak to us, we're gonna actually let you guys get an opportunity to share so we can kind of hear together, because you're gonna find that other people, the Lord's speaking similar things to you, that other people are gonna confirm, like, oh my goodness, I heard that as well. So that's always encouraging, and also your observations and interactions with the Lord are a blessing to others. So I'm gonna give you a little backdrop on this, and then I'm gonna pick the section of this story that we're gonna focus on, and then we're gonna read through it a couple of times and then walk through these steps. So here it is. I'm gonna give you the background. This is Isaiah chapter 30, verses 15 through 21. But let me tell you what's happening. During this time, Assyria is actually attacking Israel and Jerusalem, and the people are still not ready to repent and follow the Lord. But what they wanna do is they wanna go and make a pact with Egypt, that Egypt would protect them from Assyria. And the prophet Isaiah is coming and telling them, that is not what God has for you. He actually is telling you to stay where you're at. In rest and returning, you will find me. I want you to stay where you are. But unfortunately, they're not listening. And so let me take up what the prophet says to Israel. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, you will be delivered by returning and resting. Your strength will lie in quiet confidence, but you are not willing. You say, no, we'll escape on horses, and therefore you will escape, and we'll ride on fast horses, but those who pursue you will be faster. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one, and at the threat of five you will flee, until you remain like a solitary pole on a mountaintop or a banner on a hill. So you look at that picture, Israel not escaping, brought all the way down until you remain. And you just, I mean, can you see that picture? Just close your eyes for a minute. Like a solitary pole on a mountaintop. You can see out over the horizon. It's all by itself, stark and alone. Or like a banner on a hill. You look out across the distance and you can just see that banner, desolate and alone. And then it continues, Isaiah 30, 18 through 21. God's response to that. Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy. And he's rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. For people will live on Zion in Jerusalem, and you will never weep again. He will show favor to you at the sound of your outcry. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression, but your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. And whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. I want to encourage you, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Isaiah chapter 30. And if you have your Bible app, go ahead and open it up. I'm reading in the CSB right now. And I want us to focus specifically on Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 21. And what we're going to do now, Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 21. If we can put that all on one page, that would be great. But if we don't have time for that, don't worry about it. Yeah, you guys have got your Bible apps and your Bibles. All right, so now I just want to encourage you. We're going to read through that passage slowly. And we're going to focus now on part two. I've read through and given you the backdrop. And now what we're going to do is we're going to focus on a word or a phrase from this passage that's standing out to us, verses 18 through 21. Let me just read it again to you. You can read through with me. And then we're just going to wait and let that come forward. Therefore, the Lord is waiting to show you mercy and is rising up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a just God. All who wait patiently for him are happy. For people will live on Zion in Jerusalem. You will never weep again. He will show favor to you at the sound of your outcry. As soon as he hears, he will answer you. The Lord will give you meager bread and water during oppression, but your teacher will not hide any longer. Your eyes will see your teacher. And whenever you turn to the left or to the right, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Looking, what are those words or phrases in this section that just kind of stand out to you? They just prompt something in you. You're not even coming to a conclusion yet. You're just letting it catch your attention. Word or a phrase that stood out to you, just caught your attention. You don't have to give any dialogue on it, or I mean any commentary on it yet, but it just caught your attention. It just sat with you. Word or a phrase. Go ahead, Tammy. Favor at the sound of your outcry. That's good.
As soon as he hears.
I love it. The teacher will no longer hide yourself. You'll see your teacher. I love that. Behind you. I long to show you mercy. I like repeating what you guys are saying. It makes me feel smart. These are good.
You will never weep again.
Ooh. You will never weep again. Left or right?
The Lord is waiting.
The Lord is waiting. That's so good. Boy, that feels good. That gave me chills. Woo! Back here.
Waiting is part of the blessing.
Waiting is part of the blessing. Yeah.
The last line,
this is the way.
Walk in it.
All who wait patiently for him are happy. I love it.
At the sound of your outcry.
At the sound of your outcry. Come on. Come on. Come on, those are beautiful, guys. Ooh. Okay, let's read through again. And then as we're going to do this now, we're going to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say to me about this? What do you want me to think about this? What might you like to talk to me about? As I've now recognized, ooh, that was highlighted. Now we're going to just hone in on that and say, okay, Lord, I'm listening. Is there anything you want to tell me about this? So we'll just take a couple of moments and take that word or phrase that you're holding and now ask the Lord, okay, Lord, is there anything you want to tell me about this phrase? So what we're going to do now is Jason is has a microphone in hand, and he's not going to let go of it because he loves you. But what I want to do is I want to take a couple of minutes before we close, and if you're willing, that you would share in one or two sentences something that the Lord just shared with you that he wanted to tell you about this. One sentence, if you can hack it.
He will answer you. He will bring heaven to earth through you.
Come on. It's good.
We have a division in our family, and I realized I've talked about it, I've worried about it, I've stressed about it, I've dreamt about it, but I have not cried out about it.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't have to understand what's going on in this world. Just trust God, for this is the way. Just walk in it. Trust Him. Trust Him.
Good. Those are really good.
In the ESV, it says, He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. And to learn to humble yourself, to truly cry out for help, is a skill that everyone can use.
Thanks, Zane.
God hit me with is the correlation between patiently and happy.
Oh, man. That's a good word.
Because God knows I'm impatient.
He is waiting for you and wants to bring you peace.
That's good. That's really good. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, you really are going to hold on to it. I was going to take it. Okay. I was going to grab it. So I put this in one sentence. So our teacher revealing himself to us is dependent on us longing for him as he longs for us.
Isn't that beautiful? Oh, we got one more over here, Margene. Margene, you get the last comment.
This is the end, and it was talking about what came to mind was whenever you turn to the right or to the left, and God said, I will be specific for you, because I was struggling with the right or the left.
Yeah.
And he said, I will be specific. So that was comforting.
Come on. Isn't it neat how the Lord can speak so specifically to us in the midst of what we're going through the scripture? Isn't that beautiful? How many of you guys, this was the first time you've done something like this? Raise your hand. All of you have done something like this. That's amazing. For real? This isn't just the normal, like, I refuse to raise my hand on command thing, because I do respect that, but I just was curious. All right. So you guys are pros at this anyway, but thank you so much for sharing. That was so enriching. And I do encourage you, this is a great way to engage with the scripture as you're going through. So whether it's life journaling, whether it's just reading and grappling with the scripture, meditation, whether it's memorization, as well as lectio, let's be people of the book, shall we? Let's be people who interact with the Lord through his scriptures. His word is life. Amen. So we're going to take one moment of not quite silence because we're going to put some music on. And I want you to just sit with what the Lord just spoke. I am going to ask that the prayer team would come forward at this time, like right now. And after a moment, I want to invite you, if you'd like more time to be prayed with, please come forward. We want to bless you and pray over whatever's going on in your life, whether it's hard or whether it's amazing. We want to serve you in that way. And after a moment of just resting in what God's spoken and given space for that, you are dismissed to go and be salt and light in your spheres of influence. God bless you guys. Let's just invite Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're here. And we want to give you this moment and set with what you've just shown us and rest in your presence. We love your presence, Lord.